Well, it gives me huge pleasure, really, to introduce our first speaker, and that's Dr. John Halliday. And I've known about him for many years because of his expertise in the area of pharmacology and neuropharmacology and cardiovascular pharmacology. But his particular role here today is to talk to us about how medical students are trained in finding out about adverse drug reactions. And really, that's our first line of call. When these things happen, what is their awareness, and are there things that we could be doing to increase awareness of doctors about these issues, because after all, that's who we relate to at the cutting edge. So many thanks, John. Over to you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a lecturer at Guy's, King's and St. Thomas's School of Medicine, and we're part of King's College London, and we have over 400 medical students arrive each year in different categories for training as medical students, coming out after 5 or 6 years as doctors. Now, the significant thing about what I want to address here this morning is that if you go in for a particular specialty in medicine, then you have a long postgraduate training period, whether it's general practice, surgery, obstetrics, psychiatry. Then you have a long gestation period where you are taught to an increasingly higher level how to carry out that specialty. When it comes to prescribing drugs, as soon as the individual has passed through the medical school, without further specialist training, they can start prescribing drugs. That means that from that point, when they start to prescribe drugs, they are going to be responsible, like it or not, for being a party to the individual patient having an adverse drug reaction. So it seems to me that medical students have to learn something about adverse drug reactions quite early on. Now, you wouldn't expect them to be a specialist in dealing with this early on, but the awareness is required from a very early stage. And I'm just going to address the question, perhaps not in a balanced way, but looking at it from the point of view of the public concern about adverse drug reactions. How much time is spent in the curriculum on the teaching of adverse drug reactions? Now, the whole medical curriculum is driven by the General Medical Council's thoughts on education, and they've had a very important role in determining how medical schools arrange their curriculum. This is the second edition of Tomorrow's Doctors, published last year, and I just wanted to point out I've extracted the relevant points here. Is point 16. Graduates must know about and understand the principles of treatment, including the following. And I've taken out this particular bullet point under that heading, how to take account of patients' own views and beliefs when suggesting treatment options. So the General Medical Council want doctors to involve the patients in their treatment. The effective and safe use of medicines as a basis for prescribing, including side effects, harmful interactions, antibiotic resistance, and genetic indicators of the appropriateness of drugs. So there is no doubt that the General Medical Council is aware of the problems, and in its generic advice about what is required of a doctor once they leave the medical school, that there is a requirement there, and the General Medical Council clearly want doctors in training to learn about this. Here's, carrying on, point 19. Graduates must be able to do the following safely and effectively: perform a full physical examination and a mental state examination. Interpret the findings from the history, the physical examination, and the mental state examination. Make clinical decisions based on the evidence they've gathered. Now, none of that is particularly specific about adverse drug reactions. Assess a patient's problems. Now, when a patient first presents, then you can assess their problems. What will happen in many cases with an adverse drug reaction is that the patient will be prescribed the drug, will be sent off, and there may be no way in which the doctor specifically says, now I'm going to see you tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and the day after that to assess whether you're having any adverse drug reactions. That is not going to happen. So the patient may be having problems. Let's say the patient's problems are a depressive or a psychotic reaction. They may not themselves have the insight to recognize that they have the problem, and secondly, to recognize that it may be something to do with the drug, if nobody has told them that the drug could cause these side effects. To enumerate fully all the reported side effects every time you prescribe a drug would be equally wrong. It would take too long. It would worry the patient unnecessarily. So there is a genuine difficulty here. How can you understand the patient's problems if they're not coming back to you and reporting back? There aren't enough clinical times to see patients when they're being treated with drugs unless they come back with a major problem. Form plans to investigate and manage these. Well, this is clearly the GMC looking at all sorts of difficulties, but there's no reason why this shouldn't also involve adverse drug reactions. There is a requirement from the General Medical Council to be involved in monitoring patients with these. Involving patients in the planning process. Now, I think that's a key thing. I myself think that there has to be more information given to patients about the treatments they're getting, and the patients have to be expected to take a bigger role, perhaps, in reporting adverse drug reactions. The doctor is never going to have enough time to monitor over a period of time a patient's response to the drug. If we look at what happens after the first 5 years, once the trainee doctor does their house officer training, post-registration, they're now able to prescribe drugs. They're still under training, however. They're not signed off by the General Medical Council at this stage. In that post-officer house training document, general clinical training, dating from April 1997, it's perhaps significant that there is no mention of side effects or adverse reactions in this 35-page document. Suddenly, when it comes to this slightly older document from 1997, adverse drug reactions are not being pointed out as something that the house officer, medical graduate in training, should be paying particular attention to. Now, they, of course, would claim that it's not the role of the GMC to tell medical schools exactly what they must do in terms of training. But I think it is a significant omission of a real problem in this document. Is there any information about the teaching of adverse drug reactions anywhere? I'd like to look first at the United States, because there was a significant review carried out in 2002. It was really a survey of medication errors education during undergraduate and graduate medical education in the United States, so that this was looking at what they were terming medication errors, which were adverse drug reactions which should have been predicted, or which might have been predicted. But in the course of this, they asked, is there a mandatory course, a required course, one that you have to take on pharmacology or clinical pharmacology in which adverse drug reactions would be taught in the third or fourth year at your medical school? Only 8% answered yes. So in the general run of medical school training, the students are not seeing the use of drugs and adverse reactions drugs as an identifiable separate issue in their training. Now that's maybe good, it means that their training is integrated, but it does mean that you could get students slipping through who really haven't got an adequate knowledge of drug use, let alone adverse drug reactions. Only half of the students reported that adverse drug reaction training was specifically covered in their third or fourth year. Now, that seems to me indicative of a problem in the United States. And after this study was published, there was considerable debate and discussion and a feeling that perhaps the situation had to be improved in relation to the teaching. I'm not aware of anybody having done a really exhaustive study of the situation in this country, and I certainly haven't. It requires quite a bit of specialized time and resource to do such studies, and that's not what I'm particularly interested in. Here's a study, though, however, carried out with UK undergraduate medical and pharmacy programs, looking specifically about the teaching of adverse drug reactions and the yellow card scheme. Now, you'll hear more about the yellow card scheme today. This study found that only 43% of the responding medical schools provided students with a guide to reporting adverse drug reactions. In other words, the yellow cards were there, and the students were supposed to know about them, but they weren't specifically taught, and there was no culture, I suspect, that it was a doctor's duty and responsibility to report adverse reactions, not just check out the patients who reported with them. They had to report back to central MHRA on this. And medical students are the same as everybody else. They only respond in the end to things where they know they're going to be assessed. And it's a telling point that the yellow card scheme is only assessed in 57% of the responding medical schools. So although the information is there, the doctors who are involved in the training know all about it, they're not making absolutely sure that their students are aware of it. Where does adverse reaction teaching take place? Well, it takes place in clinical pharmacology. Pharmacology is the study of the action of drugs. And clinical pharmacology is the study of the action of drugs in patients, in man. And you find among this cohort in medical schools some of the real enthusiasts. My own school, King's College London, has, as a result of curriculum change, it's dropped its specific examining on clinical pharmacology and therapeutics some 6 years ago, to the great despair of the head of clinical pharmacology in the school. And it's taken about 5 or 6 years before we've got back to a situation where we're now getting a reasonable level of teaching on clinical pharmacology, including adverse drug reactions, through a series of very useful tutorials, small group teaching on the subject. We still don't have a separate examination. Cambridge, ever the confident one, has resisted attempts by medical school educators to drop formal courses in surgery and pharmacology and therapeutics, and still has a separate examination, which means that all the Cambridge graduates are going to have to learn about drugs and adverse drug reactions, and they're going to have to pass that examination before they pass out as doctors. University College doesn't have an examination, but talking to the organizer there, The subject constitutes a third of two of the major examinations. So out of four major examinations, it's a third of two of them. They have 32 lectures in clinical pharmacology, a very extensive lecture course covering adverse drug reactions. Cambridge and University College have in no way slimmed down over the years their coverage of these subjects. It has to be said that my own school, in comparison with the past situation, has. St. George's Hospital, no separate medical examination, but they have Joe Collier, a great enthusiast. He's the United Kingdom's only professor of medicine's policy, and he and others ensure that the subject is given a good coverage. Now, talking informally to Professor Jim Ritter, who's the head of clinical pharmacology at King's, he has a very clear impression that the schools here are in fact among the best in teaching of clinical pharmacology and adverse drug reactions. Many schools outside of the UK are not in the same, not quite as strong in these subjects. It is difficult. It's easy to talk about generic issues in adverse drug reaction teaching. But many of adverse drug reactions are very low frequency events. They may not have been reported previously, and the mechanism involved may be completely unknown. For teachers to spend a lot of time on these individual low frequency, poorly understood events, it's not very easy to justify against, for instance, the accident and emergency, people saying that the students must know more about how to diagnose acute bleeding following trauma. And it's very difficult to say, well, we want to spend a lot of time on a very rare drug reaction. It's not realistic to imagine that's ever going to happen. The emphasis in training has to be on how the important classes of drugs work, how they should be prescribed, and what the common and significant adverse drug reactions are likely to be. If you try and teach low-frequency events, and for instance, as mentioned, all of the side effects and BNF in relation to one drug, it's going to be impossible. Textbooks of pharmacology, clinical pharmacology, tend to be a bit conservative, and they include information that has been unequivocally established. For instance, if you look at one of the drugs we'll hear a lot about, isotretinoin, the trade name of one of the preparations of that is Roaccutane, which causes depressive and psychotic episodes in a small percentage of treated patients. It's not mentioned in some of the major clinical pharmacology textbooks, this particular side effect. If you look at the British National Formulary, it doesn't include the possibility of acute depression in its general introduction to the drugs. A history of depression appears as a caution. Mood changes two-thirds of the way down the side effects. Surely this would be a case for bringing the possibility of acute depressive episodes with Roaccutane to the front of the list. How can we move on? Well, we need to appoint more clinical pharmacologists and specialist consultants who take an active interest in the problem of ADRs. We need to ensure that there's adequate curriculum time. We need to devote time to generic issues, the use of the appropriate reporting schemes, for example, the yellow card. We need to assess the students' understanding of these issues. And we need to encourage students to be skeptical about the benefits of new drugs, particularly until we know what their side effect profile is. We need to increase learning opportunities for doctors in practice, because the more experienced and skillful a doctor is, the better they will be able to understand, appreciate, and deal with adverse drug reactions. Unfortunately, adverse drug reactions are not respecters of medical specialties. Roaccutane is used to treat acne, and here we have dermatologists involved in a drug that can cause severe psychiatric effects. And interestingly, some of these dermatologists have become very aware of and much more expert in this than the psychiatric population. We need to involve patients in the process, and I think that we have to go for an online mechanism for patients who are the recipients of the drugs and the people who suffer the adverse drug reactions to report suspicions of an ADR and perhaps obtain advice. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, John. We're going to have to move on and have questions at the end, but while someone's loading up Andrew's next talk, I, for one, was absolutely astonished that even if you don't teach the details of the individual effects of adverse drug reactions, that the policy and the processes aren't a major part of every undergraduate training. And the other point that I thought was really a take-home message for me, of course, the difficulty is the cross-speciality business. So if you're a dermatologist and you end up with psychological problems, it's not always something that you might be trained to recognise as well. So those are important issues to latch onto in a moment.